Thank you for joining Michon Hadar's learning of Pirkei Avot in honor of our 10th year celebration.
This week's Dvar Torah is by Dina Weiss.
This is Dina Weiss, Rosh Beit Midrash of Yeshivat Hadar, and this week's Mishnayot are Perek Aleph, Mishnayot Dalet through Zion. Perek Aleph, Mishnah Dalet. Yose ben Yoezer ish Treda, v'Yose ben Yochanan ish Yerushalayim, kiblu mehem. Yose ben Yoezer, who was a resident of Treda, who was also the Nasi of the Sanhedrin, meaning he was the titular head of the Sanhedrin, v'Yose ben Yochanan, who lived in Yerushalayim, Yose ben Yochanan was the Av Beit Din, he was the legal head of the Sanhedrin, kiblu mehem, received a tradition from Shimon HaTzadik and Antigonos Ish Socho. There's another manuscript tradition that reads, kiblu mimenu, they received from him, and the him would just be Shimon HaTzadik. Yosi ben Yoezer Omer, Yehi Beitcha Beit Va'ad L'Chachamim. Yosi ben Yoezer says, let your house be a house of meeting for the wise. V'hevei mit abeik ba'afar raglehem, and you should become dusty with the dust of their feet. V'hevei shote b'tzama et divrehem, and you should drink with thirst all of their words. Yosi ben Yochanan ish Yerushalayim omer, Yosi ben Yochanan said, yihi beitcha patuach lirvacha, let your house be open wide. V'hiyu aniyim b'nei beitecha, and let the poor be the main residents of your house. V'al tarves sicha im ha'isha, and do not speak overmuch with the woman or with your wife. I'd like to pause here to draw your attention to the parallel structure between the statement of Yosi ben Yoezer and the statement of Yosi ben Yochanan. Both of them are referring to how one should set up their household. Who are the people that should be in your household? What is the kind of style of hosting you want your house to have? And you remember that I mentioned before that Yosi ben Yoezer is the Nasi. He is someone who comes from wealth, and his role is to rub elbows with the important people. So it makes sense that when he's talking about the proper way to set up one's house, he is imagining it as being a proper place where one could receive dignitaries. So you want your house to be a place where the wise meet. You want the only dust in your house to be the dust that cleaves to the feet of the wise. And what you want to be imbibing, what you want to drink, is these lofty words. Yosi ben Yochanan, who is the Av Beit Din, who is not necessarily as concerned with greeting dignitaries, who doesn't need his house to be a formal reception area, his focus is very different, and his focus is in having your house be open to anyone, your house being open to the poor, and the poor feeling like they belong in your house. And this last piece, V'al tarbes sicha im ha'isha, doesn't seem to match, right? The idea that you would not talk to a woman does not seem to fit with the advice about how to set up your house so that the poor will be welcome there. And I think that the pshat of the Mishnah here is that it's imagining that one's wife might object to having their house be run over by poor people. The woman of the house would be unevenly burdened with cooking for the poor, cleaning up after the poor, and you might be under her influence, and she might say, honey, we can't have any more poor people over for dinner. And you might engage your wife in this conversation. She might convince you that having your house be open to the poor is a bad idea. So Yosi ben Yochanan says, don't talk it over with your wife, just open up the doors. It seems if we look at the structural comparison between Yosi ben Yoezer and Yosi ben Yochanan, Mishnah Hey should stop here. Yosi ben Yoezer has a recommendation about how to set up your house, 1, 2, 3, and Yosi ben Yochanan has a recommendation about how to set up your house, 1, 2, 3. But Mishnah Hey continues with the gloss of this idea of not speaking too much with a woman or not speaking too much with one's wife. So we continue with the end of Mishnah Hey. Be'ishto amru. They said that one should even not speak with one's own wife. Kal vachomer b'eshet chavero, how much more so with the wife of one's friend. Mikan amru chachamim. From here, the sages said, kol zman she'adam marbe sicha im ha'isha, all the time that a man speaks too much with women, goreim ra'a la'atzmo, he causes bad for himself, uvotel midivrei Torah, and will lose time from Torah study, v'sofo yoresh gehenom, and in the end will inherit gehenom. Mishnah Vav. Yehoshua ben Parachya, v'nitai ha'arbeili, ki blu mehem. So Yehoshua ben Parachya and Nitai ha'arbeili received their tradition from the two Yoses, Yosi ben Yochanan and Yosi ben Yoezer. Yehoshua ben Parachya omer. Yehoshua ben Parachya says, Ase lecha rav, make a teacher for yourself. Ukene lecha chaver, and acquire a friend for yourself. Vehevei dan et kol ha'adam lechaf sechut, and you should judge each person favorably. I want to comment on three terms in this Mishnah. The first is ukene lecha chaver, you should acquire for yourself a friend or a partner. The term kene can also mean to create. So it's possible that there is a strong parallel here between making a rav for yourself and making a chaver for yourself, right? And it's possible that one may follow from the other. If you make yourself a rav, you will also kene lecha chaver. You will also have a partner. And the term chaver in Mishnaic literature and later through the rabbinic tradition has the sense of friend, but also has the sense of rabbinic colleague. A chaver is someone who can be trusted to keep all of the laws. And you might be more familiar with the phrase "vehevei dan et kol ha'adam lechaf zechut" as being translated as to give someone the benefit of the doubt. And I just wanted to highlight for you that the image here is one of a two-pan balance, right? You have a scale that has someone's bad deeds or the reason why one might be condemned on one side, and you have the kaf zechut, the palm or the side or the bowl that has all of the positive elements. And when you are dan le kaf zechut, when you judge someone favorably, the image is that you're weighing down the side of the two-pan balance that has all of the positive attributes on it. Mishnah Zayin. Nitai ha'arbeili omer. Nitai ha'arbeili says, Harchek mishachein ra. Distance yourself from a bad neighbor. Ve'al titchaber larasha. And do not associate oneself with a condemned person. Ve'al titeish menapuranut. And do not despair of punishment. First, it's important to notice that just as we saw in Mishnayot, Dalit and Hay, Mishnah, Vav, and Zion are mirror opposites of one another. Yehoshua ben Parachya extols the virtue of surrounding yourself by positive influences. You want to have a rav. You want to have a chaver. Nitai ha'arbeili, on the other hand, is more concerned with keeping away negative influences. Harchek mishachein ra. Distance yourself from a bad neighbor. V'al tischaber l'rasha. And do not associate yourself with a bad person. And we actually even see, right, there's a bit of wordplay here, ra and rav, and titchaber, the root of that word is chaver. Where their differences become most stark is whereas Yehoshua ben Parachya suggests that we give everyone the benefit of the doubt, Nitai Arbeili seems to have the opposite inclination. He says, al titya'esh mehapuranut. Don't despair over the retribution. And one way of reading this is, if your life is going poorly, don't feel bad about it. Don't allow punishment. Don't allow living in a bad situation to get you down. That's one way of reading Nita Arbeli's statement. I think, unfortunately, the least likely way to read this statement. Because Puranut is not only suffering, it's the language of punishment. And he seems to be concerned about evil people and punishment. So I think the proper way to understand V'al titya'esh min ha'puranut is that you might see someone doing something evil and ask yourself, where is their just punishment? I don't see that they are being punished. And Nitai Arbeli promises you that even though you don't see the punishment, this person is going to get what's coming to them. Don't despair over the fact that you have not seen this person receiving adequate punishment. This is, of course, the opposite of the orientation of Yehoshua ben Parachia, because Yehoshua ben Parachia is looking at the same scene. He sees someone who seems like a bad person and they're not being punished. And instead of saying to you, don't worry, that person is going to be punished, he says, maybe that person isn't so bad. And maybe the reason that things are going well for them is an indication that there's something else to the story. There's something there that you don't understand. This is usually translated as give everyone the benefit of the doubt. I'd like to go into this idea of judging people favorably, of giving people the benefit of the doubt. The translation, the benefit of the doubt, is problematic on three counts. The first count is that it seems to run counter to a long legal tradition of being concerned with marit ayin, being concerned with how things appear. If I really have a strong value of hevei dan et kol adam lekaf sechut, of judging everyone favorably, giving people the benefit of the doubt, then there's no room for the concern that if someone sees you do something wrong, they'll learn the wrong lesson from you. They instead should apply to themselves, got to give that person the benefit of the doubt, and move on. That's problem number one. Problem number two is perhaps deeper, and that is that it's a Jewish value to deliver rebuke, that if you see someone do something wrong, with patience and kindness and sensitivity, you're supposed to tell them what they're doing wrong. You're supposed to have the ability to make the assessment and follow through on it. If we really lived in a world of giving everyone the benefit of the doubt, how could I ever be sure enough to say about a person, listen, I think you've done something wrong, and I'd like to help you repair your actions. And the last difficulty with translating or understanding, judging people favorably, dan lechaf schut, as giving people the benefit of the doubt, is that the word doubt doesn't appear in the Hebrew. It doesn't actually seem that Yehoshua ben Parachia is speaking only about a case where I really don't know, it could be either way, and therefore I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt. When he says, you should judge everyone favorably, he doesn't say, you should only judge the people about whom you have limited information favorably. It seems to be a blanket rule that has nothing to do with whether or not you have limited information. So I'd like to suggest that maybe the situation that Yehoshua ben Parachia is examining is not a case of when you don't know, but where you do. It's where you do know that this person has done something wrong, or you do know that this person has that bad quality, but that knowledge does not prevent you from judging them favorably, because you also know that every person has good and bad deeds, good and bad qualities, good and bad moments. Rav Moshe Cordovero, a 16th century Kabbalist, writes in his Tomer Devora about emulating God's quality of chesed, of God's quality of kindness. And in his discussion, he references a famous Talmudic character, Nachum Ish Gimzo, who is often referred to as Nachum Ish Gamzu. Nachum, the person who always used to say, also this. Also this what? Gamzu Latova, also this for the good. And the classic understanding of what Nachum Ish Gamzu is about, what his general orientation to life is that he would look at everything and say, this is good. Anything that looked bad, Nachum Ish Gamzu would say, I know it looks bad, but actually, even this thing that looks bad, this is also for the good. But the Talmud Devorah explains that this is not the way to understand Nachum Ish Gamzu's orientation to the world. He wasn't saying about everything, this thing is also for the best. What he was saying is that in this thing, there is also some good. That Nachum Ish Gamzu wasn't saying this is good about the entire activity or the entire event. Nachum Ish Gamzu was the kind of person who could see the positive in every single event, in every single person, in every negative situation. And the Tomer Devorah suggests that this is the way that God deals kindly with us. That when God looks at us, God does not evaluate us on the whole. What God does is he looks for the nekudat ha-chesed. He looks for the point of kindness within us. And the way that God is able to love us so constantly and without interruption is that God is always focusing on what is good about us. Because if we know that all of us are a mixture of bad and good, we're acknowledging that all of us have some good. And the practice of being an ish chesed, a practice of being someone who embodies kindness, is to focus on the good in each person. And in that way, find an opportunity, find an opening within yourself to want to treat them well, to appeal to the aspect of them that is good. And to bring this back to our conversation about Hevei dan et kol ha'adam l'chaf sechut, you should judge every person favorably, this is not a statement of evaluation where I look at you and I decide whether or not you're good or bad, but actually should be read as a question of focus. When I am looking at the two-pan balance and I see the bad deeds on one side and the good deeds on the other side, I should just judge you by looking only at the side of the balance that has the good deeds. And the lesson here is obvious but important. The lesson is that you should always read charitably, not because your spouse or your sibling or your friend or your roommate is perfect, but because they're also good. And there's something in them, always something in them, that you can focus on to ignite in yourself your desire to deal kindly with them. In Nachum Ish Gamzu's orientation and Yoshua ben Parachia's advice is, it's not about lying to yourself about who people are. It's about telling the truth to yourself about who people are and not allowing a negative experience or a negative element cloud over the fact that everybody has some good, every situation has some redeeming quality, and if you look for the positive, you'll be able to experience and give the good. Next week's Mishnayot are Perek Aleph, Mishnayot Chet through Yud Aleph, Mishnayot 8 through 11.
For more opportunities to be involved in our 10th year celebration, please visit mechonhadar.org/siyum, join us on Thursday, March 2nd for our Siyum celebration, and be a part of our first ever National Shabbaton for March 3rd through 5th, 2017.